In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Reading from St. Paul to the second letter to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And thank you, Lord, for this evening as we gather together. We thank you for the many gifts you have given each of us and our family members, our loved ones, our friends, and for those we don't know. We ask you continue to send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may serve well for our parish, our school, and our community. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, title tonight, Media, which is why I did the opening prayer with my cell phone. My Bible, I have a whole Bible on my cell phone and my breviary and other stuff that you never need on a cell phone, but we'll get into that in a moment. I shut it off. I went right away, and again, with media, I went to the dictionary. I don't know what dictionary it was. It sounded good. I mean, it's on the internet. Therefore, it's correct, right?
Yeah.
On the media. But I think there were good definitions of what it is. What is a media? I mean, I know what it means somewhat, but... And then you get into social media, right? So, two definitions that helped me, at least. So, first, about the definition for media. The main means of mass communication, broadcasting, publishing, and the internet, regarded collectively. That's one of just the big spectrum of media today. Like, I think in our areas, some of the best part of the media, I should say what we have, I mean, we have a paper in International Falls, right? That's a media. We have, I mean, for me, 104.1 for sports, or I hear it sometimes in the morning or in the evening with news. That's another that, and again, many people here have a computer or a cell phone, okay? The other one, definition for social media. Websites and applications that enable users to create and share content or to participate in social networking. And that's one today that is quite new. Almost brand new. If you look at all of history, when we were created as humans. And I know me, like, I just want to share right away. I remember in my life when I had my first email. And I was still, I mean, I was young there. I was like 7th or 8th grade, the first time to have an email system. First one ever. And it was a friend that just tested, you know, that. I remember my parents gave us a computer when we were younger to play games, and most of them that gave us, my parents, because they were brilliant as teachers, it were games that could be fun, but it could also be teaching, you know, so they were using it to teach. They also, you know, we never had a system like on Nintendo, Sega, all those. We never had one. Finally, when I was, I think, in high school, I bought a Game Boy, and because I could pay for it. But when I went to my friends, you know, they then had all these different game systems that you could do, and they also had, you know, televisions that are, you know, with dish or cable. We never had that either. It was, you know, the 4 or 5 channels. We enjoyed that, and as a family, we had, you know, watched movies with each other and kids' nights and whatnot, which is awesome. And so beyond that, for emails, that was the first kind of, I mean, we were taught about newspapers. My parents have newspapers, magazines, and that type of media. but kind of in the new technical world. The second one I really got into, I haven't even looked at it again because it was AOL Instant Messenger. Anybody remember that? AOL Instant Messenger. It was, I learned it in high school after I did a tech retreat. Like, we learned how to be able to chat with my friends because I was living in McGregor. So I had friends in, and Proctor is a big one. The Kubots, you remember the Kubots?
Yeah,
Aaron Kubot is a great friend of mine. Brandon Robbins, who's now a priest. It was amazing to see the internet where you could type and talk with friends, especially in McGregor, where a lot of my best friends were in Duluth and Proctor, Virginia, Hibbing. And I'd spend time, like hours and hours, and really in a very healthy way. And there's obviously sometimes I'd be beyond the time I should use, like my parents said. But to talk to friends, I mean, that was huge for me as finding my best friends as a junior or senior of high school. So that was kind of the second one. I wanted to quote this because I saw this again on the internet because I'm trying to remember what name was that thing called. I don't even know now. Quote, AOL is now away permanently. AOL announced back in October that its beloved instant messenger service would be discontinued. Sadly, that day has arrived. AIM may be dead, D-E-D, they spelled it, D-E-D, but our memorize will live on forever, as in like the number four, ever, right? So I saw that today and I'm just laughing because, yeah, that was a huge thing for a lot of high school kids then. Then I got my first cell phone in college, the Nokia that plays Snake, and it was for emergency situations, right? We have a few, whatever the time we could use our cell phones, and I was the only one out of the house, so I had a cell phone. So if I, and then eventually I bought a car, so I could use the cell phone to get help and also talk and text. I was always behind everybody else. Like, I didn't do texting, but I'm watching my friends doing all this and I'm playing Snake or just needing it for an experiment, you know, just for something that was something happened. And now everybody has a cell phone. I mean, I have friends in Ghana, Africa that have cell phones. And that was in, you know, I was in McGregor, Minnesota, in the United States, going to Duluth. And even at that point, it was a point of boom. I mean, just the whole technology of communication through a phone that you don't have to just sit on a chair with the cord or it's just the landline anymore. We don't even have a landline anymore. My parents said that we don't have it. I don't need it. I think finally I went into Facebook in college as well. And that was when right after that I kind of shipped out of the technology world, if you will, in some ways. I had Facebook with a lot of friends, great people, reminding whose people's birthdays were, my parents. It was hilarious watching. My mom is pretty good with technology. She's usually behind most everybody to start with. We try to catch her up with us. And my dad is a lot back just back in the history with that. And I'm more with my dad than my other brothers right now. I laughed when I went into Thanksgiving a couple years now. I was up here, the pastor up here again, praise God. I was there for Thanksgiving and I'm sitting on the chair and I look around and my mom, my dad, my brother, brother one, brother two, sister-in-law number one, sister-in-law and two, all on Facebook on their cell phones. And I'm sitting there I'm like the old school guy here, dad. Like, we're with each other and everybody's on their cell phone. And we're looking around, what are you guys doing? Like, this is the worst thing ever. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. Eventually I cut out of Facebook when I was actually doing Tortoise Tuis, and it was so busy that we couldn't, I mean, I didn't have time to see Facebook. And so I, kind of a goal for myself was, let me just close this out for now and I won't use it because it's so busy. I mean, really doing a teacher tortoise to us for a summer. So I stopped. It actually cleaned my, I mean, helped my life. I mean, it's just a lot less time. You know, sometimes you can do very good things on Facebook and other times it's just wasting time. And I'll get that in a moment. But I laughed when I went back to seminary. It was about 6 months later that my best friend said, are you on Facebook anymore? Did you take Facebook off? And I said, yeah, I did. That was 6 months later. My best friend didn't know that I left Facebook. And that's what we joked with each other, said, yeah, that's. I'm glad you have, because we talk all the time using a phone, not a cell phone or texting. But he had no clue that I was not in Facebook anymore. All my friends were gone. And it's imagining to myself, it's amazing I still have friends. Because how many people just look for friends? You know, so that was kind of the, I guess, the old school, I guess, of technology. And I think there's ways to use it well and other times to kind of shut it down or you know, clean yourself up with that type of technology. So again, with the both media and social media, it's good to think as Catholics what that means for our morality. Media and social media is neither good nor bad in itself. I mean, if you think of money, it's the same thing. If you think of alcohol, smoking, again, things that we have that we could use it or not. There are times, and it's not like a, there are some, I guess, boundaries I always think about when I think of morality in our Catholicism lives. As a math person, that's kind of one of the things I think about. Obviously, on one level, maybe the left side, whatever you want to call it, is no, you don't do any technology, any media, period, never. Which you can, actually. You actually could. There are people like monasteries or people in a convent that they don't have any technology. Okay, so you could live without any media. You really could. The average person, I would say, is a good place to read, like the newspaper, you know, to know, be aware of new things in the area. Read the newspaper and, hey, this is how the game was with our athletes. These are people that, one today, I mean, just looking at FaceTime with, I'm able to see my nephew and nieces. That's a great, beautiful thing. So if you go on the one side and say, well, for most people, we're not going to be in the convent with no media. But even there is some media, right? There's the Bible, the Mass. That's a media, okay? So all people will have it in some degree. And the average person, again, more in the middle, where most of us probably are. But then you have the other side where, I mean, some of the stats today that adults are at like 7 hours and 45 minutes of a FaceTime, like a screen time. I don't know if that means that's their computer working or if that's everything. How often people use their cell phone or television. I mean, just the averages, and again, the only places I've seen these are on the internet. But there are people that are using a cell phone or a television to kind of escape from what's going on in their life. On the other side, there's different spectrums you can think about what is morality, immorality, or actually normal moral gifts. I mean, I think about a huge thing in the internet today and media is pornography. I mean, it is unreal what goes on in our country with pornography. I remember I asked the gal that was talking about the trafficking, sexual trafficking, and I asked, how much do you think pornography is what pulled into sexual trafficking. She says, oh, pornography by everything else. You think of the other things that are probably bad. You know, we know that pornography would be like evil, I would say. There's also times that can be, you're not sure. And again, we don't want to judge the people using things, but you think about violent movies or violent games. Like, I think some of that is evil. I mean, you're watching all these kids playing violent video games that goes in their brains, you know? That can be very bad. There's times that it doesn't help. Again, my parents, that's why they said, you get 30 minutes on television, otherwise go outside. You know, so I praise God that they taught me that. And even as technology comes into this generation that, and yours, what should we use in, or not? So again, I want to kind of a little bit of a list to think. Again, I mentioned some of these already, but some of the great things that are good with technology, again, information and facts, the ability to learn. I think of how many different things we have Catholics today that we can read. Almost every day you could read on the internet about what Pope Francis talked about today. That's unreal. You see our CDs, like Lighthouse. That's amazing that I can take CDs and listen to it, a great, brilliant teacher in a different area in our Catholicism, to put it in a radio instead of just listening to Johnny Cash all the time, which is very good too, and if I'm driving. Those types of things. I have a Bible. I didn't tell Les this yet. One of the ladies that is looking through RCIA, she wants to learn the Bible in English, and she's learning how to read it. She can read very well. But I have myself, I have two types of a Bible. One is just the New Testament with like a dramatic event that you can put in a CD and you can read, you can listen to the Bible. And it's from done with amazing sounds and actors and actresses with the people in the story of the Bible. And I have another that's actually the whole Bible, all 73 books in like, I don't know how many, it's like 66 CDs. You could have the whole Bible that you listen to. That was one of the first things when I was in the hospital. The first thing I put in was a CD from the Bible because I couldn't read it. And then the second was Robert Barron, The World on Fire. The Word on Fire with his great technology. He's the one that did the 10, the Catholicism with the 10 DVDs. Mm-hmm. I know some of you did that already before. And I have his cell phone. I'm in now 2010 of his homilies, his weekend homilies. He helped me learn after my injury as a gift of technology to help me learn again, what do you call the difference in morality between history or violence or money? What is morality? What is it? What is it to remember what we know as our Catholics? So those are the two things for me that helped me when I couldn't speak well. Another great place to use technology. It was cool. Sabrina had a class. I think it was her communication and. She talked with two other students on a team, and she was solo, and they were talking about media. They had a debate about media, which was really cool, because some were saying, you know, it's bad, and she stood up for saying media is good, and her expectation was, or the reason why, was because we've seen so many the hurricanes recently, that how quick people through Facebook, Snapchat, whatever, Twitter, that can get people to give money to people that are hurt. That was kind of Sabrina. And then it was fun because she came here and Les was our judge and we were just talking with each other. Maybe not just talking, but getting heated up on what do you do with that, right? And it was amazing actually to think how good it is to use that. Caring Bridge. was another huge thing in my life. Obviously, I never read it. I still haven't. I only read like the notes from others. But I know how many people loved Caring Bridge to know that they can pray for me. I mean, that's another one. That's amazing that people actually did that. And my mother did it and typed it almost whatever every day. So those are good things of technology. All right. Now, on the other side, you have the bad things. And I mentioned already, what are there things that are actually evil? Well, I mean, there's predators, literally. Predators that lure young kids to abuse them and to use them. Talk about that, and that's evil. I mean, think of ISIS. And that is bad news. That's evil. What they're doing is evil. Again, pornography, the extremes of that, just unreal. With anything that comes that's created by humans, which is also created from God, and He allows us with our mind and our intellect, but the evil one is going to jump in that too, which is media, which is pornography, which is the ISIS, what is predators. I mean, we didn't even have that as kids. You know, we didn't have an internet as a child. That's unreal. And now kids, I mean, I'm FaceTiming with little John Paul, and he's got the phone now, and he's holding it, and if he wants me to be gone, he just press the button. He knows that. I mean, I'm done. Goodbye. I'm like, oh, yeah. When I see him, can't do that, John Paul. Especially when your uncle, pastor, priest is baptized you. So I want to show one thing that kind of was in a big issue right after Vatican II. So I just wanted to give one situation that you knew about, possibly. It was in, so Pope Paul VI wrote an encyclical letter, Humanae Vitae, in 1968, July 25th. Here is one of the biggest things, I think, and I know there's more, but I wanted more kind of bring this conversation to a little bit in a Catholicism way of technology, how it works so well and can be hard. So they were preparing because other denominations were working into birth control. And I remember the class we studied about that, how most Christians now could use birth control. And we were about the last one that were now talking at the theological level and sexual morality level of what do we do? Can this work as Catholics? So they had a birth control commission, I think it was for a couple of years. And they had, I think it was like 23 theologians on that commission. 16 out of the 23 had a majority consent. That's what they were going to give to Pope Paul VI. And that was to allow birth control in our faith, in our Catholicism. There was six or seven that were on the minority report. He then became John Paul II. And they were the ones saying about morality. I mean, today if we hear some of that, like John Paul II, the theology of the body, the issue was it was leaked into the media in the United States and probably other places that leaked out the report of the majority report. And that was one reason why many people thought, oh, we're Catholics, we can use birth control. Because it was leaked out, it was a discussion with theologians, priests and beyond, and Pope Paul VI, later that came out, he then wrote the document, Humanae Vitae. And all of that was the truth that they were working together as they have this conversation and studying and really praying which I mean, it's unreal. We had a whole conversation in the seminary about what that meant to our country, birth control, because we had media. The second I want to mention is, I had three actually. One would I would say more as a joke, but I do want to keep it more on who we are. I remember, again, internet, you know, is this true or not? I thought it was, but there was a stat, and I don't have it on me, so I try not to quote and say this is factual, but I do remember reading articles about how in the last election for a president, that 50% of people were getting their information through Facebook. Through Facebook. Most people, half our country had their Facebook to learn or not. And then you heard, of course, the different, this is fake, or this is true, and division, right? So that's more of a joke. But I think the other one that's huge for us is this is the first time in history that Vatican II was the last ecumenical council. It's the first time ever that we've had this type of technology. And I mention that because when we studied for history of all the different ecumenical councils we've had, it took about 50 to 100 years to the whole church digest what they were teaching. Like, it turns out, yes, Jesus is divine. Yes, Jesus is human, going on against heresies. The technology they had back then was, I mean, using feathers and put it in ink. I mean, we didn't have a publisher system until like the 18th, 19th century. Mainstream. I mean, the first ones were in the 15th, 16th century. And most people until the 18th, 19th century could read. And even today, we have probably 1/3 of the country, I believe, that can't read. And so now we have these huge things that took 50 to 100 years, and I think now we are digesting a lot of the things in Vatican II, for instance. But it takes time, and in all history it took that. I mean, the Bible wasn't put together for about 4 centuries, and we didn't have the average Bible until, I mean, really the last couple hundred years. I mean, if you've ever heard of people saying, oh, you Catholics, you chain your Bible up and you put it in lock and jail, you know? Well, yeah, because they're putting on things that were, in our dollars, would be millions and millions of dollars, because it took somebody to write it on a scroll and make sure nobody would steal it to try to sell it or things like that. And now, I mean, I just showed, we were at RCIA a couple weeks ago with Kyle and Katie. I just brought down my pile of Bibles. You know, I mean, that stuff is unreal that we have that. And so both as Catholics, you know, what do we believe? What is our morality? Where are we receiving our information? And then kind of the normal, and I don't want to say normal because we're normal as well as Catholics, but people living in the United States today with the country we have with great gifts. To follow our Lord Jesus Christ, then what is my discernment to use the good that has been created and stay away from what is bad or even evil? So I think that's a good conversation for us here and those of listening to this on the podcast, that what is our time on television? What is time to watch movies? How much time do you have to do something that's relaxing or joyful to do with technology? Again, I remember the seminary, we had a calendar each day, what we need to do every day. And we had to do it. I was a little annoying about that, by the way. Because I was pretty good, I mean, at the education part of making sure my budget of time was done to do well with excellence for academic things. But there, and as a priest too, there's sometimes, for me it's more crazy now, so I don't have that, but because every day is different, it's totally different. But even today there are times I'm thinking, why don't I do something like that again, where I know that at this point I should be reading, this time I should be praying. This time I should be watching something beautiful, and not have this section of sports or the internet. You know, how do we discern and pray in our time? Finally, it's amazing to think of what our time just goes by us. How often, you know, if you're watching, which again the average is like 3 to 4 time in television, 3 to 4 hours, something like that. Imagine 4 hours every day for a year. How much time that is. And then after 1 year, how about 5 years or 10 years or 80 years? Eventually we're going to pass away, and what do we tell the Lord when he says, hey, 4.5 years of your life was with junk? How can we grow with that? Again, it's a new technology and challenge in its good ways and its bad ways. And how do we discern to do it well, and to follow our Lord, and to be closer to him? Again, I said what I loved in the reading on the cell phone, because this is a great tool, you know, that, and I told kids, I have to keep doing it to them, that you can have a Bible on your cell phone. You do know that, right, kids? That you could have a breviary, you could have a prayer app every day, that you could have something that'll just pop up to you. This is the verse today. But one of the favorite things, the reason why I chose in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. So today, as that was true for all generations of history, especially in our Catholic history, heresies was going back and forth, and back then it was like brutal. I mean, it could be brutal, but now today we're in a different dimension of people have itching ears through the internet, through different thoughts. You can do it anything you want on the internet to do something about millions of different ways. And how do we sift through that as Catholics? To keep with Jesus, to focus on what he is being told. Again, I mentioned Bishop Robert Barron. My mom just bought a book from him to me, bought a book of his, talking about just the technology, just social media. He's now the bishop who was voted for to be the evangelist man in our country, to lead the bishops in our country. And he's on YouTube, podcast, videos, and he is probably one of the, I wouldn't say the first, but a huge person, because Father Mike Schmitz has done some of the same, priests in our diocese, on podcasts, on Facebook, on big events, big people that are owners of books and technology. So great things going on. Faith Formation as well, same types of things. When I got here, it's like, oh my gosh, we have these DVDs now that we can have the best teachers in our country to be here. We don't have to be in, you know, rural areas that we have to ask somebody to learn how to teach this to kids. We can have the best we have through technology. So let's pray about that in our own lives, about media, and continuing to walk through Lent toward Jesus and Jesus Christ, who, by the way, did not have a cell phone or a newspaper, and he saved the world. And now a couple, 12 people began to now 1.2 billion. And there was no media there at that time. So let's conclude that, and then let's have a good conversation about that.